I see all of some of you have your notes out already, geared up, ready to go, pens poised. However, you're going to have to put it away and wait till next week. We're going to be having communion this morning, and I just want us to spend some of our time this morning in preparation for communion in sharing community. Does that sound like a good idea? How many understand and revel in the fact that we are part of the family of God, the household of God? We're brothers and sisters. And I think it very appropriate this morning as we are, as I said, preparing our hearts for coming to the communion table, that we encourage one another. We hear what God's doing in our lives and how He's strengthening, how He's admonishing, how He's rebuking, how He's disciplining, how He's blessing, how He's training. The Holy Spirit is in our midst. How many aware of that? You may say, well, I don't feel Him. Well, it's by faith. The Holy Spirit is here. He's in our midst. He dwells with us. He dwells in us. And I believe that He really wants to speak to us in a different way this morning and speak to us through one another. Let the church minister this morning. Let the body of Christ minister this morning. Is that okay? It's been really wonderful, the previous services, Friday night and last night, what God's been doing in our midst and how He's been encouraging people and speaking words. We had one man share last night about the men's retreat and Promise Keepers. And boy, he just put out a challenge to the men to be men of courage, men of boldness, to step out by faith and to face their sense of inadequacy, face their fears, and not be passive. It was a bold word last night. Boy, you should have seen the men. They were just responding in our service last night. It was really, really exciting. And so I expect fully that the Holy Spirit is going to be moving and speaking. I believe in the sovereignty of God. We're just kind of ask the Lord to do what He wants to do this morning. And as I said to you last week, we want to not quite so much be an audience as we want to be the body in action. And again, you know, it's not a lot of structure, but we'll kind of feel our way through. Okay, is that all right? Some of you are agreeing, some of you are not too sure. Okay. Some of you are living in terror that I may call upon you. But before we hear what God's doing in our midst, I do want to ask you to join with me in praying for two specific areas. One, many of you are aware that we're having a food drive this weekend. But a lot of you are not aware of it or maybe forgot or for one reason or other just are unable to participate. I want to ask several of you if you will pray this morning and lead the rest of us in the congregation. Just wherever you're sitting, you'll just stand and lead out in a short prayer, a couple of sentences, asking the Lord to bless us with additional food donations to fill the pantry. I had a woman come to me after the Friday night service and tell me, she says, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what happens here at Hope Chapel. She says, I've been coming to the church for a month. And she says, I first came because I heard you guys gave food to families. And she says, I have three children and they're all in foster care. I don't have a place to live. But I came and you gave me some food and some people prayed with me, encouraged me and directed me to a mini church. And now the mini church is helping her. And she's getting established. And for the last 2 weeks, she got two of her kids back from foster care. And she said, my kids love your children's ministry. They can hardly wait to come. And, so we are seeing some of the fruit of what God's doing in people's lives. And we don't see the whole big picture because literally hundreds and hundreds of people come through here every month to get fed, to get food. And It's an awesome thing. I don't know how many of you here are here during the week. You happen to come into the church during the week, during the day, and you see people going out of here with bags of food. It is an awesome sight. And your heart breaks when you see little kids and families who just are so needy. And we're able just to help just a little bit. So I'd like a few of you to, if you would, lead the rest of us in prayer that God would continue to keep our pantry full and put it on the hearts of the congregation, because we can't do this without everybody's support. Secondly, we're going to begin next weekend in asking for volunteers for our children's ministry for the next year. We always have to begin early so we can get everybody geared up and to get the training and get everybody in place so that when we begin in September, everybody is up to speed. So we have to begin our recruitment and are asking for volunteers this month. So I want to ask again a couple of you, if you would, if you'd lead us in prayer, that God would be, again, this year, as He has been so every year, gracious to grant us servants, men and women, especially men. We need lots of men to work with these kids because we got a lot of single moms in our church. And the kids, a lot of the kids don't see their dads with any degree of regularity, and they don't have a lot of strong male significant influence in their life. And we want to be able to offer that to our children. And I know, as my son was growing up in our church, that I was very confident the people that he was involved with in children's church made a tremendous impact on his life, and I'm exceedingly thankful for that. And I know that you, as many of you, are young parents, and as your kids are coming, you want to be guaranteed, you want to be sure that when you take your kids into the children's church, that those kids are cared for, ministered to, and influenced by people who are spiritual, who are loving, who care about kids. So we want to pray and ask God to give us those people. They're already in our midst, but some are afraid to step forward, some are not too sure about themselves, some don't know. But we want to ask the Lord, Lord, you confirm it in those hearts that you've already prepared, that they would be willing to step forward and that we'd have a great harvest of workers for next year's children's ministry. Is that okay? Can we pray for those two things? Okay, I'm going to sit down, and several of you, if you'll just go ahead and lead us, the rest of us, in prayer. How many people would be willing to say, I'll pray for those two needs throughout the week? Raise those hands real high. God wants to see how many hands are high. Okay. Good. Keep those needs in your prayers throughout the week, and we're going to look forward to just a wonderful harvest, wonderful exploding ministry in those two areas. Well, we want to see what God's doing in our midst and hear from people who maybe God has been speaking to you. He's been doing some things in your life. He's been doing some things to your life, changing you, speaking to you, calling you, ministering to you in some sense, some way. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is going to do wonderful ministry through all that we're doing this morning. And He's going to be taking our words and using them to do something in someone else's life and someone else's heart. So if God's got something for you, don't be intimidated to share it. Don't quench the Spirit. Let Him minister through you. Okay, Mike?
I'm not one much for trash talk or
you're talking to my shirt
type of
a little
stuff.
Bit.
I know that. But God just got in my face. And I'm going to Lucky's after the service today. I'd like you to join me. And just let's make a contribution to the Pet Food Pantry. I think it's something we could do instead of going down to the kettle or whatever. Take the money and go and buy some food for some of these kids.
All right, good word. Thanks, Mike. Lynn.
Thank you. My name is Lynn, and I'm a mini church shepherd. And I just want to give another perspective to mini church that maybe you haven't thought about. I've heard it said that God does not call the equipped, but He equips the called. And I need to take a breath. And God has not only called us to be mini church shepherds, but He has equipped us as well. And I know for me, he has given me a great love for the people that he's put me in charge over. And more than that, he's given me a deep responsibility for them. And I pray for them, and I encourage them in their faith, and I support them, and I confront them and hold them accountable. And just a second. And I believe that I'm a spiritual covering for them. My prayer would be that if you feel uncovered or disconnected in some way, and that you're struggling in your Christian walk or maybe not growing, that you would seek out the covering that God has already provided for you under the umbrella of the Shepherds of the Mini Church.
Thank you, Lynn. God is doing a pretty awesome work in people's lives through Mini Church. And as you can see, we have our banner up in the month of May. As Henry shared with you earlier, is Experience Mini Church Month. And we have probably about 40% of our congregation involved in Mini Church. And that means there's 60% of the people that attend Hope Chapel that for one reason or another are not involved. Now, we realize that some people are having school or they work nights or something. We have mini churches in the daytime and evenings and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Thursday mornings and so forth. And we're trying to make available. We have probably about 85 plus mini churches right now. And we're trying to provide enough opportunities for fellowship for people, and as well opportunities where you can be in an environment where you, of your own choice, will allow other people to hold your feet to the fire. Is that important? Absolutely. We don't always want that, do we? We don't always want to be confronted. We don't always want to have some people hold our feet to the fire. But that's absolutely essential if we're to grow. I had a conversation with a couple not too long ago. And they wanted me to spend some time with them in helping them win their marriage. And they said to me categorically, we know that you will hold our feet to the fire. So they were volunteering to get beat up by me. Is that an exciting prospect? No. Barry.
I wanted to mention something just about trust. But when we were praying, I've got two things really. I can't get away from this. We prayed about food and bringing food in and stuff. And I've been in churches where there have been offerings and, okay, I'm going to give the first 20. Who's going to give another 20? Come on, who's going to give another 20? That kind of thing. And
that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, well, and it does. And I think that there's 100 people here that have $20 to give to the food ministry. And that's $2,000. Is that what that is? Well, 100 people times two.
Yeah, I think so. The math is right.
I think that's it. And I really believe that this is something that the Lord wants us to do. And as the people were praying, I was thinking, we're all praying about this, and that's really wonderful that we pray. And then Zach said, how many people here will pray about these two needs for this next week? And I mean, just about everybody's hand went up, and I thought, that's great. And prior to this, I had been feeling like that the Lord spoke to me that there's 100 people that'll give $20 here. And I don't want to put you on the spot, Zach, and say, okay, well, let's
I'll give the first 20.
Okay. I'll give the second 20.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Darling,
but
would you... There's the third 20.
There's the third 20. And then when our brother here stood up and spoke to me, I said, well, now, Lord, how are you going to confirm this? How do I know this is just not me? And you lay a fleece and you go, well, okay, if somebody does something. And I didn't do anything. And when this brother stood up and mentioned that, I felt like I needed to say something about that. And I don't know how you want to do this, but I honestly feel like we need to do that. And then whether I go down and buy it, or somebody who knows a specific need go to Costco and make our money go as far as it can and buy.
Well, we buy food from some of the food banks at real cheap prices. So what a lot of people are donating to Hope in Action, and that's a good thing. So when we have accumulated X number of dollars, Bruce will go down to the food banks and buy extra food. But that doesn't nearly meet the need. I mean, the continual inflow of food donations and well as money is still, as much as this congregation supplies, is still not meeting fully the need. So that's why we have these periodic food drives. And you got to know that I don't want to beat everybody over the head, you know, be talking about money all the time and, you know, bring these donations. So we try to do this periodically to keep it in front of us. And I think that certainly prayer is critical to this process, and that as we pray, we're just trusting the Lord that He's going to move in people's hearts, and that we'll have a continuing groundswell of help in this area. But you're right.
I think what we need to do.
We're going
to
take a second offering.
Do that. We're going to do.
We're
going to
take.
Now,
we'll take a second offering.
Beautiful.
Right.
Okay. Well, let me mention the other thing. Do you want to do that now, or shall I continue with the second thing?
You do the second thing, and then we'll take the second offering.
Okay. Good.
We're turning the lights down too. So.
Okay. Good. That we can get in the mood. We're building. We're adding on to our house, and we're adding on. It's a little project. It's about 1,500 square feet. And
a little project, 1,500 square feet. And it's a small house.
Yeah.
You're adding on to your house.
Yeah. Well, we tore down a certain portion of it.
Oh,
a large portion.
A large portion of it.
We're living in a little
You're living
spot.
In a little kitchen and a bathroom, right?
Yeah. A couple
of
bedrooms.
A couple of bedrooms, okay.
So my brother and I are doing the work on the house, and it has been a really... really neat experience for me. When I grew up, I idolized my brother. He's 7 years older than I. I followed him into, he is a musician, and I followed him into musician, played the same instrument as he did until I got to high school, and I sort of reevaluated what I was doing. He lives in the same town that I do, in El Segundo, and through the years I've seen him, but we have not had, we live very, very different lifestyles, completely different lifestyles. And in this whole process of building the house, he's been there, and every day he's over there working. And one of the real significant things about this process is we go through in the house, and there's some little difficulty or some problem that we have, and I just go, oh, what are we going to do? And his constant reply is, hey, it's not a problem. You more than anybody else should know. You're a Christian, right? I mean, he's with you, isn't he?
Oh, he's not a believer?
Well, he says he is, but he's certainly not living underneath the Lordship of Christ, and doesn't follow what we would consider people of Christians, and he's got a lot of very strange ideas about those kind of things. And he'd say, well, you don't think I'm a Christian? He'd ask me that. And I go, well, it's sort of a really different kind of thing. Like I said, we live very different lifestyles. But sometimes we hear those kinds of things about, hey, it's not a problem, trust in the Lord. And yet we as Christians should know that more than anybody else in the world, that we have a God that loves us, that cares for us, that wants the best for us, that is looking out for us in everything that happens with the apple of his eye, the object of all of his affection. He cares for us so much, and yet we sometimes go, this is a problem that I'm facing. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we miss many times people tell us things because of the messenger. We don't listen to the messenger. And yet I just want to encourage you that God is all that to us. And as problems or difficulties come our way, that we need to trust him. We need to realize that he's for us. And it isn't a problem. And I tell you, it's been a process. We've been on this thing since October. And his attitude about that, no matter what it is it's not a problem. I mean, when we get done with the front of the house and the whole window is off by, I'm not kidding, it's off by 2 feet. It's supposed to be in between these pillars. I'm going, and we're standing out there, and he's going, I noticed it yesterday, but it's not a problem. And I'm going, what? And, I mean, it isn't. I mean, it's a little bit of work, and you jack up the floor and you take the header out and you move the whole thing over. And, I mean, we did it, and it wasn't a problem, but It was just a little extra work. But it has been so wonderful. I could tell you just so many anecdotal stories about the way that God has blessed us and been involved in our life and the wonderful blessings that we've had and the deals that we've gotten and things that have happened. But I just thank the Lord for the benefit that it's had in the bringing together my brother and I and just the closeness that's there. And it's been wonderful for my family having him there. But things are not a problem. And we need to realize that. We need to trust in the Lord and really rely on him and look to him and realize that as these things come, they're for us. They're for building us up. They're for strengthening us. They're good for us. They're good things, regardless of how difficult they seem, regardless of how hard it seemed at the time. God's for us.
Amen. Good word. It's not a problem. Can't you just see that on a t-shirt? It's not a problem. I like that. It's not a problem. Let's take a second offering. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We'll turn the lights down low so we allow for people's privacy. Barry said $20, whatever you got, whatever you want to do. Even a dollar. Darling, would you loan me $20? Al, would you come up and play the piano for us while we receive the second offering, please? Henry, this will all go into Hope in Action, okay? So we'll make sure that we keep it separate from the general offering. Okay, ushers, would you go ahead and receive whatever offerings God has given us. can be seated. You'd be happy to know that this is the only service so far that God moved on to do that. So the other services missed out on the bigger blessing, huh? That's right. Good. Doug.
I've got a little story about work, and any of you who do not own your own business and you have to work around, you know, a lot of non-Christians, you might have had some conflicts or little rubbing, you know, personalities at work. So maybe you guys can relate to this, I don't know. But first of all, this might help as we go. I'm an L.A. County deputy sheriff, and if any of you guys, if there's any out here, I hope they don't get offended, but there's a lot of egos. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of macho-ism when it comes to being a cop. And about 5 months ago, I was asked to take on a different position. So I'm working close with three other guys. And two of them have been on about three times longer than I have. And in L.A. County, that means a lot. If you've been on the department for 12, 15 years, anyone below you must basically bow down. I mean, you know, you've been on. So you're not equal. And two of the guys, they're really close. They've worked together. They're really close. And the other guy, he's like I am, about the same time on the job, about 5 years. And the two guys with a little more time on, they really abuse the other guy verbally, calling names, stupid, fathead, whatever they can think of. They just, you know, for no apparent reason. And he kind of takes it. And he doesn't, you know, doesn't say anything back to him. And him and I, we've become better friends. So it's kind of like the two veterans and the two rookies, as you say. 5 years, I guess you're still a rookie. And but I get real defensive when I hear them call him names. And, you know, I want to lash back at him. And at times, they put me in the same boat as him. They'll say, well, you guys are this way, you guys. And then I do. I'll say something. I'll stick up for myself. But I don't know if I feel that the Lord's put me there to stick up for him or to, you know, fight his battles. Because he's a grown man. He, you know, can speak for himself. But one time, I really overdid it. I really put down one of the other guys. And I just said, just shut your mouth. I don't want to listen to you. You know, I got over, you know, stood over him. And at first I was kind of playing it, but then I got more serious. And, you know, I blew it. So about 30 minutes later, I told him, I said, you know, Jer, I was just playing. You know, we know how you like to play. I didn't, you know, I left it at that. Ever since then, about 3 weeks after that, no more was he putting down either one of us. So that seemed like, wow, that's pretty good. Hey, all you have to do is you just attack him. He'll, you know, he'll mellow out. Well, but there was a big division after that between him and I and the other veteran and I. Big division. He didn't even want to look at me. And that, you know, that was tough. And I, you know, they know where I stand. I used to bring my Bible more to work and carry it around. I don't really think that's my position there at work, so I don't do that. But they know, you know, they hear me, you know, speak to others. They know where I stand, and I know where they stand. But the Lord really put it on my heart that I've got to ask for his forgiveness. I have to go to him and say, I'm sorry. And I did. And I went to him and I said, you know, Jer, I said, about the other day, I said, I'm really sorry and I want to ask for your forgiveness. And he didn't even know what I was talking about, really. Oh, you mean 2 hours ago when I said, no,
Jer. He knew what you were talking about.
Well, he played like he didn't. Yeah. And I said, no, Jer, I'm talking about the time when I, you know, got in your face like that. I said, will you forgive me? He, oh, you don't have to do that. You don't. And I said, no, I do. I said, you know what my beliefs are. I said, I wasn't living them out. And unbelievable what God did at that moment. Unbelievable. Jerry opened up. He said, no, Doug. He said, I'm the immature one. I've been the one that's been wrong. And the other deputy who didn't want to talk to me, you know, he comes forward within an hour, started telling me about his family life, talking about what's going on at home. It was unbelievable the barriers that were dropped. And I just want to encourage everyone that has anything against your brother, who has said anything, the power of forgiveness, it really moved. And our relationship has just grown.
Humbling yourself. Isn't it wonderful how God just kind of let Doug run and stick his foot in his mouth so he could use him later? You know, it's kind of like the guy that was born blind, you know, so that he could bring God glory later on. Good word. Good word. Who's got the mic? Okay, Henry, right back here. Oh, you got one? Okay.
I didn't really want to get in front of the audience and say anything, so I came up behind and told Henry about what Hope in Action has done for me. And I don't want to get into a big thing, but the Lord has touched me in a lot of different ways. We've been going through some financial problems, and I have 4 children, and I'm a single parent right now. I guess it was in February. I'm receiving food stamps and financial aid. And February, I got some kind of problem with the food stamps, and so I didn't get any for the beginning of March. Well, so I'm worried about what we're going to do. I came down here a couple of times and got some food. And then Bruce called me, I believe, about the 7th of March, and told me that Arby's was sponsoring this feed the world type thing, and they would give us a free meal every day for a month for the whole family. And so he said, would you be interested in this? And I jumped on him, and I said, of course. And the kids were real, they just enjoyed it. We went there every day for a month, and then like on the 7th of April, and it was supposed to run out on the 12th, we received our food stamps again. So God really does take care of you, and you just got to know it. And I'm living proof. I just want to say thank you.
Hi, my name's Casey, and I basically want to advertise for Children's Church. From a mom's perspective, I know how blessed I've been with how my children react to all the teachers. And when I heard Dale praying a while ago, they were teachers for my daughter for 3 years in a row, and it broke her heart when she graduated into a class they couldn't teach anymore. So I know from a mom's perspective, it's a blessing. And I've been a teacher for 2 years now, and I just re-upped for my 3rd, and it is such a blessing to be around those kids. I've been teaching 3-year-olds, and you think at 3, they just want to run around and play. Well, no, they teach me things every week. I'm very blessed, and I was a 0 at creativity 2 years ago, and I've learned a lot from them, and the Lord blesses me when I walk in the classroom. And I haven't prepared my lesson, and we go in for prayer, and by the time we're finished with prayer, I'm going in there running around trying to get things together because the Lord gave me a thought. Why don't you try this week? And we'll try it, and the kids are just so blessed, and it is a lot of fun. I highly encourage you to try it. And it's also a great way to meet people that have kids your kids' age. That's kind of what I started out with, and now I know a lot of people that have children my kids' age because I've taught their age group too, so I've got friends from this. And for a second part here, the worship this morning on trust, I came in here this morning. I have a 3-year-old. I have 3 kids, and my 3-year-old's been pretty sick for the last few days, and it's been kind of hard on me. And I've been praying for wisdom from the Lord to tell me what I could do to help my son. And this morning I realized why I wasn't hearing the answer, because the Lord said, trust me and obey me and let me heal your son. It's not your responsibility. And that really blessed me this morning. Thank you.
Hi, my name is...
Is this on?
Okay. My name is Scott. I've been coming here for, I don't know, since Christmas or so. And I don't really know what I want to tell you guys. I want to tell you, first of all, that you all bless my life so much. Every Sunday you guys share your testimonies. You know, at first I was like, yeah, you know, I just want to hear what Zach has to say, though. But, you know... what you guys say, it ministers so much, because it's the reality of what Christ is. You know, it's just the reality of who Christ is. I was raised in a church where, you know, basically it was, let's get our eyes off Jesus and let's look to the theologies. Let's look to all the fruits instead of looking to Jesus first. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you look to all those concerns, you're going to miss Jesus. You know, when Peter was looking at Jesus, he was walking, man. Here's these waves. And he looked away, and bam, he fell, man. He fell hard. I mean, you got to imagine yourself. Right now, the Lord's got me in a place where I'm a light and a witness to four brothers, or two, a brother and three sisters. I don't even know what I have anymore. But it's like, I'm like a parent to these guys, okay? And, you know, I was searching so much. I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, how come this isn't going on in my life? How come that's not going on in my life? And the Lord said, I placed you here for a purpose. Why are you slapping me in the face and saying you want more? I've given you this. And I was just humbled. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I've taken my eyes off of you, you know? And it's incredible how easy it is to take your eyes off Jesus. It's absolute. It just like that can happen, you know. I remember in the Old Testament where it says that Samson, he didn't even know that the Spirit of God had left him, you know. And I'm just charged right now, because some really awesome stuff's going on since I just realized the simplicity of our walk with Christ. It's not bushy gushy feelings, you know. It's just life. It's real stuff, you know. I got friends that are so caught up in drugs that I cry. I literally cry. The Lord's changed me in that way too. He said, get rid of the apathy. I didn't give you apathy. I want you to have a spirit of compassion. I want you to know that everyone around you, I love you all the same. Just because that woman's a prostitute, I love her. Show her love. She's not a castaway. Let her know who I am. That's what Jesus did. Why he went and he ate with all the scourge of the earth as we see him? Because he wanted to show God's love. So here I am. My friend calls me Tuesday, and he's just absolutely in tears. He's all, help, man, help. I need help. And I'm going, what? You know, I'm ready to just sit down for the evening, go to sleep or whatever else, but the Lord keeps you ready. He keeps you right on your toes, you know? And he said, man, he goes, I took something over the weekend, man. I don't know what's going on, but I want to kill myself. And I was, oh, Lord, you know, I didn't know what to do. So I just said, Lord, you speak. Lord, let your mind be spoken, Lord. And I started to pray for him. And the fears, they went away. You know, and I had to wait for my father to get back from somewhere. And I went and I just was with him. I went and spent time with him, you know. And he said, man, I've got this numbness from here to here. And I said, well, do you believe God will heal you? He said, yeah. And I said, all right, let's pray. I've never prayed for anybody to be healed, okay? And it put me on the spot. God said, are you going to trust me, Scott? And I said, I have to, Lord. And so I prayed for this guy, you know? And after I prayed for him, he didn't say anything. And I'll tell you, it was bugging me. I wanted to ask him, you know, did it happen, you know? So I didn't ask. But before I left, I asked. I said, how's your head feel? He thought about it. He jumped for joy. He said, man, I can think, you know? I'm going to tell you guys something, too. If you have any friends or anything like that, drugs are the biggest lie there are. They strip a man of his integrity, of his livelihood. They're a lie from Satan, okay? They're an absolute lie. My friends tell me, no, 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 I take the drugs because, you know what, it helps me to play music. I'm watching a friend of mine die right now. He's literally killing himself because he doesn't think he's good enough because there's no self-esteem in him, you know? Jesus restores that. Sunday afternoon, the Lord just started working on me. I started crying for no reason, and I just started to cry out. Like, I realized what it meant when David, it said that he cried out to the Lord. I mean, if any neighbors heard it, they probably would have been calling, you know, a cuckoo place and put this guy away. But, you know, I have a friend that's a minister. And the enemy in the world has just been slapping him around. Just tell him, you know, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. You can't do it, man. You can't have it. And he's just in the dumps, you know. And I went back and I talked to him. And he's like this little boy, this little shriveled up boy in the corner going, well, I don't know what to do. I mean, I could do this, I could do that. And I just sat there listening to him. And I could just see this. He was just so hurt. And I could have gave him a bunch of answers. I could have just said, okay, well, here. All right, I'm going to go about my business. But the Lord wanted him to understand it himself. It had come to a realization that he took his eyes off of Christ. You know, I honestly, sometimes I don't want to come home at night because I know that there's these four little kids there that are looking up to me. Okay? I'm only 21 years old. I have no idea how to be a father. But I pray, Lord God, show your love. Show your love to my father. You know, my parents have just recently been divorced. It's about 2 years. It's still recent. But there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. Last night, I was praying for my little 5-year-old sister. She was scared because the other two were off spending the night. She was afraid. And I prayed for her. I told her, Jesus is with you. His angels are with you. And she was comforted. I could see it happening. She trusted. And the Lord said, that's the faith you need, Scott. And then she prayed for me. And the Lord said, that is the fruit. That's what you've been working towards. And I just want to encourage you all, whatever the situation you're in, really look at it and pray about it and say, Lord, how can I be used? Thanks.
I want us to come to the table now. We've experienced a whole cross-section of things this morning in terms of testimony and witness to our heart. I'm going to ask the communion servers if they'll prepare to serve communion to the rest of us. Can you turn the lights down a little bit, please, Elsie? Thank you. You know, probably the clearest expression they already did the count on the amount of money that you guys gave this morning. $2,663. I'll buy a little bit of food. The clearest expression for us of community is communion. It's in communion as we focus on the elements, the symbols of Christ's body and blood, that we can begin to understand and thank God for the basis of our fellowship. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Without the cross, we have no fellowship, really. We have no eternal fellowship with God, nor with each other. The Apostle Paul, in the second chapter of Ephesians, says that we were separate from Christ. He says that we were excluded from Israel. That we were separated from the covenants of the promise. That we were without hope and without God in the world. That was our condition. But he goes on and he says, but through the blood of Christ, the cross and his sacrifice on that cross, the shedding of his blood, we who were far off have been brought near. He goes further on in that chapter and he says that God has, through the cross of Christ, he has torn down all the barriers. There is no more barrier between man and God. We can, in the words of the writer to the Hebrews, we can approach the very throne of God from which we obtain grace and mercy. And we can have fellowship with each other, honest, real, open, loving fellowship, because the barriers have been torn down. Sometimes we re-erect those barriers. And as Doug wonderfully shared this morning, how going and humbling himself brought that barrier back down again. But all because of what? The cross of Christ. So all the barriers are down. We can be family. We can enjoy the fellowship that God has for us. We look to God, and now because those barriers are torn down, we call him Abba, Father. And we turn to each other, and in love we say, my brother, my sister. And there's power in those greetings. You see, we're no longer strangers. You say, well, I don't know that person's name, and I don't know that person. Yes, but they're your brother, and they're your sister. There's a bond of love that God has given us. And this relationship lasts for eternity. How can I say that? Because these elements, this cracker, this juice, representing the body and blood of Christ, a solemn pledge of eternal relationship. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. And we thank him for his infinite grace to us. Where our sin is great, his grace is greater, the Bible tells us. Oh, God, thank you for your grace. This meal is for sinners only. Jesus came to what? Heal the sick, didn't he? To call sinners to repentance, to bring them life. And we need forgiveness, don't we? We need his forgiveness. So we have confidence that we can draw near. We can admit that we have sinned against him. We can admit, we can tell him, I've sinned against my brother or my sister. And we can, again, with full confidence, when we confess our sins, be sure that he will forgive us, cleanse us, and remember them no more. The communion table is a beautiful time for healing and forgiveness and reconciliation and freedom. We come with expectant faith. We look to him with expectant faith because we know that he is for us. He's not against us. And we look up with these empty hands of faith, expecting to receive from him his gifts of grace, faith, forgiveness, healing, strengthening to live our lives for His service. What is the need in your life? Where is the deficit? Where is that area of frustration? What is that issue you can't get beyond? By faith, expect, Lord, you know this area that's been consuming me, this area that's been confronting me. Help me grace my life. And this meal, we thank Him not only as we remember Christ, not only does it give us a view to the past, what has been done on the cross, but this communion meal also gives us a view toward the future. It's a foretaste of heaven. It's a shadow, just a kind of a shadowy picture of the wedding feast or the marriage feast of the Lamb the Bible speaks about. All of our hope is in glory. And we don't want to lose hope in this life. We go through what Paul calls momentary light and momentary afflictions. Not losing our hope. Not losing our confidence. Because we know that we shall see Him. And for some of us this morning, we find that we have a joy, but our joy is mixed with tears. But even then, because of Christ and what He's done for us, and because of the hope that we have, the hope of glory, we know that one day He will wipe away every tear. We hold on to that. And until then, we remain the household of God, His family, His children. And we encourage one another. We love one another. We pray for one another. We bless one another. Each day ourselves being renewed in God's love to do that. So that we can continue to work together, doing our Father's business. These are some of the things that the Scriptures give us in terms of perspective. I want us to think on these things. I want us to engage them as we share communion. If you're new with us, very simply, the communion servers will pass the trays down through the rows. Take a little piece of cracker, a little cup of juice. Hold on to them. I'll come back in just a moment, and we'll all receive communion together. We're a family. Amen. Thank you. many of us know the passage in Revelation where the Lord admonishes us not to be lukewarm. And certainly this is not a time for us to be lukewarm. This is a time for us to be fervent. Fervent and hungry for God and for what He has for our life. We're not performing for Him to gain His approval. We are performing because we have it. We're hungry for what He continues to want to do in us and for us and through us. We don't want to be a stumbling block to each other, especially in our families, in our marriages. And I would venture to say, knowing the nature of things, that there are couples here, maybe just one, where one spouse is being a hindrance and a stumbling block to the other spouse. If these words make you uncomfortable, then maybe God's speaking to you. Using Doug's example from earlier, I think it would be very appropriate before you receive communion, if you're with your spouse now, to turn to them and just whisper, "Forgive me. Forgive me for being a hindrance to you and a stumbling block to you." If you're lukewarm, let the Lord stoke up that fire. Let the Lord stir up in you, rekindle a fervency for Him. As our brother Scott shared about keeping our eyes on Jesus, so much can distract us. Communion is a time of intimacy with the Lord, especially of loving Him, thanking Him, and receiving from Him. We take just a moment to allow any of us who need to do whatever business we need to, if you haven't already. Don't let your pride stand in your way. If there's any way at all that you think that maybe you have been a hindrance or a stumbling block, deal with that now. Lord Jesus, we come before You and we are thankful for You. Thankful for the work that You've done on our behalf, and Lord, we could never save ourselves. We understand that in a kind of a logical way now, but the magnitude of what You've done for us, we can't fully comprehend. It will take us all of eternity to understand what You have done. We are in awe of You and Your grace to us. Thank You. Thank You for Your mercy and Your kindness. Strengthen us, O Lord. Gift us this morning. Heal us as we come to You. Jesus, we remember You. We proclaim Your death until You come again. And oh, how we look forward to seeing You face to face one day, when indeed You will wipe away every tear, put away all injustice and all weakness. We love You this morning. Jesus said, "This is My body. Take and eat." He called the cup of the new covenant in his blood. His blood, he said, which will be poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. His blood continues to cleanse us, continues to pay our price, continues to provide protection and healing for our life. For that we are indeed thankful. We worship him. He said, do this often and do it in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we drink the cup of the new covenant in your name to Jesus. Amen? Amen. If you'll pass the cups to the center aisle, the ushers will come and collect them. We're going to close the service in a different way this morning. How many of you are aware that the worship tape is available? We have a music video to go with the worship tape. Aren't you excited? And at the tail end of the music video, we had more tape, so we had a little family log for Alan and his family. So they're included. You'll enjoy this, and then the worship tapes are available in the bookstore, Al?
Bookstore and in the hallway.
And in the hallway, okay. And then we'll close the service right afterwards, okay?
I don't know who that little guy is. He's real cute. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great week, and get yourself a copy if you haven't. God bless. Bye.